Hi, everybody. This is Steve Savitsky, and welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today I have Yael Aldrich, who is, according to our article in the Jewish Action, considered by many to be the guru when it comes to homeschooling. So, Yael, how are you?
I'm great, thank God. I am. I don't know that I can consider myself a guru of homeschooling, but I like to think that I try to help as many people with the homeschooling journey as possible.
Well, that's terrific. So it's interesting that when we first started about a minute ago when we were talking offline, I asked Yael because I thought she was in Indianapolis, but she tells me she's in Tokyo, Japan. Very interesting. I saw in the article you actually spent a year there, didn't you, in Tokyo, Japan?
We've actually spent about 3.5 years here in Japan over the last 13 years. We come about every 3 years or so, and we stay here for a year at a time so my husband can do research for his academic work.
Ah, what does he do?
He's a professor. He'll be a professor this fall at Northeastern University in Boston. He'll be the director of the Security and Resilience Studies Department in the Political Science and Public Policy Department.
Oh, very interesting. So
yeah.
I guess that's what necessitated, in a way, your getting involved in homeschooling, right?
It was the initial reason we decided to homeschool. When our second trip to Japan came about, my oldest son, Gavriel Tzvi, was going into first grade, and we weren't sure exactly what to do. We could have put him into an international school at over $20,000 a year and worked on his Jewish education after school is over. We could have put him in a Japanese school where he would have had obvious issues with food and obvious issues with religious things. Or we could have homeschooled him. And so we decided to homeschool, and we wanted to give it a try and see if it would be successful for us, and it really was. We homeschooled our first grader and our second son, Yaakov, who was at that time 3, and I made a little school at home.
Lovely. That is really, really good. So it's really mushroomed and emerged into something much larger, and you keep hearing a lot about this. Now, is one of the motivations behind this the high cost of tuition in yeshiva?
I think for some people that definitely is a reason they are looking into homeschooling. I know that in recent years, more and more people are coming to me or to my group on Yahoo groups, Jewish Orthodox and Homeschooling, or on Facebook and saying, I can't handle the tuition. How can I do something about that? Can I homeschool? And, a lot of the times I say it's absolutely possible to homeschool, but that really can't be your only reason to homeschool. If that's your only reason to homeschool, you probably will not be happy at the end of, a year or two, because you really need to have a love of working with your children and not just looking at the money aspect of it. It doesn't hurt, I'll put it that way.
I got you. Okay,
but can't be the only reason.
Okay, I understand that. I understand that completely. So now, is there an age, and I was reading the article, is there a certain age when you figure, because of social skills and so on, that you've got to stop the homeschooling, that it just can't go on after a certain age?
Honestly, I don't see that age happening at all. Now, if you talk about the average family in an average community, there'll be plenty of socialization opportunities for a child, both Judaically, Jewishly, and out in the general community. My kids have lived in a lot of different communities, and we've homeschooled in all of those communities. And honestly, they have no lack of friends. The ones that are very, very social make friends, and lots of them, like my daughter Yehudis, who's 8, and then the ones who are a little more introverted make friends. They make fewer of them, but, they would have made the same number of friends and probably the same types of friends had they been in an institutional school.
Okay. So there seems to be a growing number. Do we have any idea of how many people are actually homeschooling now in the Orthodox Jewish community?
That's a really good question. So I run a Yahoo group called Jewish Orthodox and Homeschooling, and my group has over 450 families, most of them in the United States, some in Canada, some in South Africa, some in Israel, but I would say probably the great majority of them, probably 400 or more, are in the United States alone, somewhere in the big Orthodox tent, And I know there are plenty more because there are many more Facebook groups that have started in the last year or two, and they all have several hundred people on it each. And every time I go to a community or speak to somebody in a new community, they say, oh, do you know so-and-so? They homeschool. And honestly, they're not on any of the groups I know, so I could probably estimate well over 1,000, probably not more than 2,000. You know, if you're not counting, like, the Chabad families that are in the middle of nowhere. But if you're talking about just regular Orthodox families, I would say somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 families in the U.S.
And how is the Chabad, obviously, they have a network because they have to. How is that differ from, let's say, your homeschooling approach?
Well, you know, they have a network, as you said. They, you know, the shluchim and the shluchot, they have a network that they use, and a lot of them are now using their online school, which they have. There's a Chabad online school, which is also possible for non-Chabad children to use. So they have, web-based. Kids put on headphones and have interactions with teachers and students online. I would say that the majority of the people who are in the regular Orthodox world, so to speak, don't use online schooling. They come up with a variety of different ways to educate their children, some of it which may be online or video-based classes, but many don't.
And do you follow a curriculum? Do you take one curriculum from one school system and follow it throughout, regardless of where you are and where you're living, or do you change depending on where you are?
Well, so when I first started out homeschooling 9 years ago, I took the Judaic curriculum from Torah Academy in Boston. They were gracious enough to let me talk to the first grade teacher there and use a lot of her materials to get my son started in schooling. I still use those materials for my children as they get to that age where they're learning to do Kriya and learning how to start in Chumash. But I take a lot of materials from a lot of different places. One of the places that I like to take materials from is a place called Hinuch.org, Torah Masorah, which is, you know, an organization that helps day schools, also has a website with lots of different materials for teachers. And a lot of homeschooling families use those materials. I also make up my own materials. So it really depends. If you're talking just Judaically, I use a mix of things that I've made up myself, workbooks that I can find from different publishers, and things that I have found throughout the years. Now, for secular stuff, I adhere to what's called classical education, and that's sort of the education that I would like to, I always say, your grandparents had. My kids learn Latin. My kids learn how to diagram sentences. They do old-fashioned math. It's a rigorous curriculum, both Judaically and secularly, and we just make sure that our kids are as well-rounded as we can possibly make them.
Now, do you set a certain time every day? Is it very regimented? First of all, how many of your children are you homeschooling right now?
So I am graduating an eighth grader into ninth grade. He's going to a new yeshiva called Or Yisrael in Boston, which is a college prep single gender high school that is just has its second class starting this year. So I'm graduating Gavriel Tzvi, who's eighth grade. I have Yaakov, who is 11 and going to seventh grade. I have Yehudas, who is 8, going into 3rd grade, and Dov Bear, who is 5 and going into kindergarten. So I have now I have 3 students going into next year. And yes, I do have somewhat of a regimented schedule. It's not 9 o'clock to 9:30 this, 9:30 to 10 o'clock this, but I do have a schedule that I encourage my students to follow, my children to follow. And we work together on some of our subjects. And they work independently on some subjects. As my children get older, they do more independent work, but there are always things such as Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara, math that we always do together.
Now, do you ever have classes where you combine two of them together and work together, or just always independent?
It's pretty much, for our family, pretty much independent. Each child is working on their own. And I don't really group students, although I know a lot of homeschooling families do group students for things like science or math. I guess you could say we group together for things like learning about Hilchot Shabbat or Hilchot Yom Tov, Kashrut. We do some things together, but it's a really small part of our curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Now, I read about this program called Room613.net.
Yes.
Do many people use that program?
There are people who use it. A lot of people who don't feel comfortable doing the Judaics on their own will utilize a program such as Room613.net. Rabbi Resnick and his wife are terrific, and they do a great job of teaching a lot of Jewish children all over the world.
Yeah, that sounds really, really exciting. So you actually run a conference every year, I read about, which is the Homeschooling Conference. Is it an annual conference?
It has been an annual conference for the last 6 years. I had to take a break this year because we were in the middle of a lot of different things, but I hope to restart it again this coming year.
Ah, lovely. And so people come from all over the country. And how long does it last for?
It's a one-day conference right now. A wonderful lady named Aviva Warner started it 7 years ago and ran it for the first 4 years. She's now made Aliyah to Israel. She's in Ramat Beit Shemesh. And a group of us had decided after she made Aliyah to continue it. So it's been a one-day conference so far. We would love to extend it to make it a Shabbaton and a conference. We're working on it. It takes time to bring the numbers and the amount of money that it takes to make a Shabbaton and a weekend happen. But we do a one-day conference. It's jam-packed. We have usually two different meetings going on at the same time. Some of them are based for veteran homeschool. Some of them are more towards new homeschools or people considering homeschooling. So we have a lot of different programming for that one day.
Oh. And when people come and they get together and you look around at the participants, are they all more or less the same, or do they come from different? Okay,
oh
like
my.
What? Give me an example.
It's really beautiful. When you come to this kind of conference, you see people literally from every part of Judaism. We have Satmar families coming. We have Chabad families coming. We have very modern families, very yeshivish families. Anybody who is in the big tent of Judaism, of Orthodox Judaism, is at this conference. And it's really beautiful because nobody says, oh, you don't wear this kind of kippah, or you don't wear this kind of hair covering, or you wear pants, or you don't wear pants. We all are there because we want to work with our children and do what's best for our children, and we're there for that purpose alone. And there's a lot of achdut that goes on at the conference. Really, really beautiful.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, are you getting support from the Jewish world, the Jewish educators, or are they seeing this as somewhat of a threat to the establishment? What's really going on?
I think there are people who are very, very positive towards it. Jewish educators are very, very positive towards homeschoolers. In fact, there are a lot of homeschoolers who used to be Jewish educators and decided that they wanted to take the education down to the family level. But there are, unfortunately, sometimes people who are upset at the fact that you're taking children and money and could be some of their better parents out of the school system. So it's unfortunate sometimes it does happen, but for the most part, I think people in the Jewish educational world are accepting and look forward to seeing what kind of children we raise.
Right. So I mean, the proof of the experiment is going to be in what really happens, and are your kids, kids who do homeschooling, are they academically, able to keep up? One, I have a feeling, just a gut feeling, that they'll do very well. What about from the social point of view? This is where I hear a lot of people talk about it, saying, you know, from a socialization point of view, it just really doesn't work.
Well, you know, that's the canard that you hear about homeschooling, not just in the Orthodox Jewish world, but in the general population as well. I honestly, any family that would have problems being social, or any children that would be having problems being social, I think honestly would have them being in the educational world that is, you know, the institutional educational world as well. For the most part, especially if you live in a community where there are other homeschoolers, Chicago, Miami, Baltimore, New York, they have many, many opportunities to get together. They do social activities, they do educational activities together. I know that for my own family, we have interacted with both Jewish homeschooling families and non-Jewish homeschooling families, and I can see that my introverted kids would be introverted no matter where they were, and I think my extroverted kids would be extroverted no matter where they were. It's really not an issue. A lot of homeschooling families say they have to fit the homeschooling, the education around the socialization time.
That's it. Now, if people came to you and asked you, they've been thinking about homeschooling for, you know, a variety of reasons. So what would you tell them that they really should, they really have to know?
I would tell them they would have to not think that they have to be the perfect parent. They don't have to be the most patient person in the world or the most educated person in the world or the biggest sadik in the world. You don't have to be any of those things. You can be a regular parent and educate your children. I would say that a person who is considering homeschooling should talk to other homeschooling families, do some reading, go to the library or go to Amazon and pick up books on homeschooling. Try to figure out where you kind of want to work educationally and realize it might change.
The ones who are not successful, what would be the major reasons why they're not successful?
I think people who are not successful in homeschooling can set very high standards for themselves that they're not able to successfully achieve. I think that's one of the issues that when people quote-unquote fail homeschooling. Another is that they feel that sometimes that there is community pressure and that it will be easier to live their lives in a Jewish community, especially smaller ones, if they are in the school system along with everybody else. Another reason is that they feel like they can't do the education. They can't teach, I don't know, Mishnah, or they can't teach the Rashi in Chumash. But there are many ways to work around that issue. I have friends who get tutors for the children. I have friends who get tutors for themselves so that they can learn, so that they can teach their own children. There's ideas such as Room 613, TorahTutors.com. There are a lot of different organizations out there that can teach your children if you feel you don't have that education.
Now, are you the one in your family that does all the homeschooling? Does your husband also participate?
My husband does participate. He's quite busy, travels around the world a lot, but he does do Latin with my children. He does Mishnah and Gemara with our children who are of that age group. He does grade things. He does our writing program, but I do the majority of it. So I do the Chumash. I do the Hilchot Shabbat. I do, you know, math, grammar, Latin, math, grammar, science, history, those kind of things. So I do the majority of it.
Mm-hmm. So now next year, I mean, you're going to be moving to Boston. Your
Correct.
Son is now going to actually be enrolled in a school. Is he looking forward to it, or is he nervous about it?
He's looking forward to it. A couple of his friends, we used to live in Boston when we were in graduate school, and a number of people still are there, and a number of them have chosen to send their children to this new school. And so he'll have a couple of friends that he already knows from being in Boston way back when that he went to bar mitzvahs and kept in touch with them. So that's great. He really is looking forward to being in a school. I'm looking forward for him to be in school as well. He's going to be in a small environment, similar to homeschooling, quite honestly, but has the ability to be out of my hair and to learn from other teachers other than myself, my husband, and the tutors that we have had for him in the past.
Uh-huh. Very, very interesting. So let's say, final question. Do you think someday when your children are older and they have children, they're going to want to homeschool their kids, or do you think they're going to want to send them to the regular education system?
You know, I don't know. You know, my kids are not the kind of kids that say, oh, Mom, may we have more education, please? They do their schoolwork. They aren't in love with it. I don't know. It's a good question. My daughter says she wants to be a teacher, so I don't know if she'll be a teacher of her own children or she'll be a teacher in a regular school. It's a good question. I would be happy either other way.
That's
I
wonderful.
Really would.
Listen, it sounds really, really fascinating, and I guess, like as you said, if people are interested, they could certainly go online. They could find out more about homeschooling. It's not for everybody, but it might be for some people. So we really appreciate you coming on the program, Yael, and good luck to you during the summer here and then when you return to the States and to Boston. Nice talking to you. Have
Thank
a wonderful
you.
Day. Bye-bye.